Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. We're happy to have all of you here today, and we have some visitors with us. Of course, the dear folks from Australia, the Carsons, are here, and they're going to get baptized. In Jesus' name, we have Lori here from Iowa, and she's going to sing for us later on. And we have Laverne from Manhattan, New York, of all places. That's a good place to be from. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. I've been there about 14 times I've been there. And I was telling her, it's a nice place to visit, but not a good place. Wouldn't want to live there. And now it isn't even a nice place to visit, the way things have gotten. But anyway, we're glad she's here, and we're praying that she'll just relocate here. Amen. We're looking forward to the Lord's will being done there. So I hope that works out. So anyway, praise the Lord. We are here to worship the Lord and to hear His word. And I'm so thankful that we can be together like this. I don't know how much longer we'll be able to do this. The Lord's coming soon. And the powers of Antichrist are closing in fast. But, you know, that just makes me look up for my redemption draweth nigh. Amen. So these are exciting times, and it's time to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to sing a chorus this morning, and I think we'll do our Keep On Walking by Faith chorus as we go into the Word of God. And we will be turning to the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 to begin with this morning, with a message entitled, The Unburied Dead. All right. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Think about it. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Give the Lord a hand praise this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, hallelujah means praise ye Yah. Amen. And so we do praise Him. We are opening this morning to Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with the first verse, and I'd like to pray first of all and ask for the Lord's help for us. Father in heaven, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can open our Bibles together this morning, and we believe firmly in Thy word that it is true, forever settled in heaven. And I pray now that Thou wouldst help us to hear Thy word. And let Thy word come forth, O Lord, and let it be received with the power from on high. And I pray, O God, that Thou wouldst come into our hearts and let there be a great shaking within us. Draw us nigh unto Thee, Lord. Revive us, lift us up, strengthen us, O God. Let Thy Spirit be poured out upon us. And help us, Lord, to have ears to hear. For Thy word, O Lord, is all-powerful. Strengthen our faith exceedingly, O God, and give us victory in the Holy Ghost. And let the devil be driven out. Let him have no ability to hinder us. Let him be made powerless in Thy holy presence. And in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Through the power of the blood. Yes. The Unburied Dead. That's quite a title for a message for this time of the year, isn't it? You know, you drive around and people have gone absolutely crazy with their Halloween thing. They turn their front lawns into graveyards. Have you ever seen any of those? They must be nuts. Just to put it bluntly. And in a recession like this, when everybody's broke, they seem to have money for jack-o'-lanterns and all kinds of decorations and all, you know, because it's a religion with them. Do you realize there are those that, this always amazes me, you talk to people out on the street and they're brain dead. Really. There are people out there that think Halloween is a national holiday. Well, I suppose in a way it is, but not officially. It's a witch's Sabbath is what it is. And it's always boggled my mind how any church could get involved in such a thing. But anyway, that's not really my subject today, but I'm going to talk to you about the unburied dead. Taken from Ezekiel chapter 37, we read in verse 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord." This is a vision that he is seeing. "The Lord took him forth in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." Now, if you can picture this in your mind, here's a big valley. God, in the vision, is taking Ezekiel to this valley of bones. Unburied dead. "And caused me to pass by them round about." Took him all through the bones. The whole boneyard. "And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." These bones were dried, bleached. They were there for a long time. And verse 3 tells us, "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" Well, what a question. Who would think they ever could? You know, you can look at someone in a casket after they've expired, they're in a casket, and you look and it strains your faith. We do believe that they'll rise again, yes, but death seems so final. But in this case, bones. And they're laying all over the place. All right? And God asks the question, can these bones live? Now, what kind of an answer could you give the Lord? Here's the safest answer that you could ever give. "And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." You never want to say no to God. If you don't understand it, attribute it to your own ignorance. And just say, "Lord, thou knowest. I don't know. Lord, thou knowest." I mean, it seemed impossible. Well, "again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now, I've got to tell you that I have preached all over the United States, coast to coast, from Washington to Florida, from New York to California to Texas to Minnesota, all over the country. And I've even preached to some dead congregations before. But this is about as dead as they come. Actually, one of the most lively congregations I ever preached to was down in Jamaica. There were about 3,000 of them out in a tent. And I was preaching, and boy, did they get with it. Could feel the Spirit flowing there, just moving through that whole place. Praise the Lord. But I can remember preaching at some memorial services or funerals, if you want to call it that, where almost everybody there was a Lutheran or a Catholic. And you can tell they don't believe one thing about what you're saying. And you know, when you're preaching and you've got people like that, you can feel it. You can feel it's different than preaching to people that believe. And they're all sitting out there. I can think of many times this has happened because people have wanted me to take care of a memorial service or funeral for somebody. And just about all the relatives, everybody was in one of these dead, dry, dull, denominational tombstone bail boxes. You know, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, whatever. And they're sitting out there. and you're preaching and bringing forth the Word of God, and they look at you like, huh? Just like a whole room full of mules looking at a new gate. Right? Where did he come from? What planet did he arrive from? They never heard anything like that. They're used to hearing all of the chanting and all the ritual and light the candles and dim the lights and stand up and sit down on cue, right? Hand out the sacrament and then head for the bar. Yeah, that's what they're accustomed to. Oh, I'll tell you what. Now, can you imagine? Here's Ezekiel out in this boneyard. And God tells him to preach to the bones. Dry bones scattered everywhere. So what does he do? And I really like what happens here. So the Spirit of the Lord told him to preach to these bones. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now God, how can bones hear? Can bones hear? They can hear God. They might not hear with ears, but I believe that every element in the periodic table can hear God. I believe God called them all forth from nothing. How did God create the world? He said, let there be light. His voice brought forth light. Let the dry land appear. My wife was telling Professor, my parrot, my African gray parrot, about how God called forth the birds. So then he started talking about God calling forth the birds. He listens and listens. He loves to learn, you know. And it's true. God called them all forth. God made all the animals with the power of his voice. Now he is telling Ezekiel, this fiery prophet, you read about Ezekiel, he's associated with strength and fire and fortitude. And he's out there, nobody's around but dry bones, and he's preaching to the bones. And it says in verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. What a great impossibility. But then again, with God, all things are possible. One thing we have to learn as his people is never put a limitation on God. One of the problems Israel got into is it says in the Psalms they limited the Holy One of Israel. We are accustomed to limitations. We all know limitations. But God doesn't know any limitations at all. He's never late for anything. Did you know that? People sometimes thought he was. Abraham thought, well, why is it taking so long? Where's my son? But it didn't make any difference if his wife, Sarah, was in her 90s. She had a baby anyway. He loves doing things like that. How about John the Baptist? An impossible child was born of an old woman. Well, God's never late. He's right on time. Always on time. Now, in verse 7 it says, so I prophesied. Don't you love that? He obeyed. He did what he was told. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. Now, that's one way you can tell it was valid, God-filled preaching, there was a noise with it. There was a reaction. Some of these congregations, you know, I'll tell you what the problem is. The minister stands up there and he's dead. The people are dead. Everything's dead. There's no reaction of any kind. Everything's dead. But when the word of God comes forth under the anointing and the power, there is a reaction. And so he prophesied, it tells us in verse 7. And there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. Don't you love it when God shakes things up? And the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now, wouldn't you love to have been there? Here's all these bones moving around in the big field there, finding each other, coming together as skeletons. You talk about a clickety-clack going on. And all these bones hitting each other and finding each other. That's the power of God's word. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them. And the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Now they weren't bones anymore. They became skeletons. Then, now this is a vision that he's seeing, right? Then, they were reconstructed with sinews and flesh and skin. Now they're laying there, they're all corpses. You might say, what does all this mean? We'll get to that. First we have to hear it. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. Notice, not just any old direction here. From everywhere. This is a wind that comes from everywhere. O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Well, what is going on in this vision? Well, it says in verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that the Lord, ye shall know I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit, come on, put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Taking an impossible situation, dry, bleached, parched bones, and in this vision that Ezekiel saw, and by prophesying, by bringing forth the word, it all came together, all the bones, and they lived again. Now, what's this all about? What's going on? Oh, there's so much here. There's so much. Go back with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. And we're going to read just a few verses beginning at verse 8. And I want to tell you this. And you talk about a boneyard This present world and all of the society that you see all around you is a boneyard. Let me explain something to you. God inhabits eternity, does he not? God sees the end from the beginning. And all of these people that rise up and do these things, Obama, for an example, or any of these politicians or leaders or whatever, they only last so long, don't they? And they become a pile of bones. Right? Old Schicklgruber, Hitler, you know. He's up there and there's massive crowds of people and he's got his arm raised up and his little schnurrbart's twitching, you know. Seek Heil! Seek Heil! All these people, it resonates through there, and they go and they attack France and they attack Poland and they start winning everywhere. And of course, God put a stop to that. But where is he now? Huh? Where are all of those that rise up and defy God? You see, people may look very much alive to you, but there's really, yes, there's this world, the realm of this world, and the earthly life. But spiritually, this world is a boneyard. When God looks at things, he sees the end from the beginning. For an example, let's say you've got a big football game going on. The stadium's full of fans cheering and waving their arms and screaming and going crazy. Well, they do. And they say, we're nuts. We clap our hands a little. Oh, those crazy Christians are fanatic. Woo, you know, lock them up. And they're out there, ah, you know, painting their bodies, taking their clothes off, painting their bodies with body paint and freezing weather. And all. Come on. Walking around with a big piece of plastic cheese on their head, you know. Huh? But we're nuts, right? We're crazy because we praise the Lord. So God looks at this whole big stadium full of people. You know what he sees? He sees the end from the beginning. The whole place is full of dry, dead bones. A 100 years later, what would it be? Just bones, right? Everything is so temporary. The great armies of the world, piles of bones today, somewhere. All the ancient battlefields, Thermopylae and all where the great battles were fought, and all these places, Marstead Moor and Naseby Field and all these places, just boneyards. I realize dirt covers them now, but do you realize how many bones are under the earth? All the generations that have come and gone. God sees the end from the beginning. God sees people as being temporary. They're involved in temporal things. It doesn't last, does it? But the Lord said, now God knows his people. And God is able to call his people forth from that boneyard of this world and put life into them. Now watch what he said here. As you go into Genesis chapter 49, verse 8. Let's read that. Judah. See, the children of Israel, our patriarchs here, are being given blessings here in prophecy. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? By the way, who was the lion of the tribe of Judah? Jesus. Right? Verse 10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Shiloh is another name for the Messiah. It became a geographical area as well, but specifically refers to Jesus. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be? Where do the people gather? Who would be the one who would call them together? Who would be the one who would speak to the dead, dry bones of this world? And every one of us were in that condition. The Savior, the great gathering of the people of God. And of course, the door was open also to the Gentiles. So the people of God were gathered into the commonwealth of Israel through the calling forth of Jesus Christ, who would prophesy. Ezekiel was seeing this vision that, yes, dead bones can live. And you know, you may think of friends, family members that right now really seem like dead bones. You can't get through to them. You try giving them the gospel, whatever. You hope and you pray, but there's no reaction. But these bones can live. As soon as the word of God comes upon them, once that happens, God is able to interrupt their lives in a moment of time and turn it all around. It doesn't take God very long to save a soul. Come on. Well, here's another little thing for you to think about. Remember, this people, after the bones came together and the flesh came upon them, they were still laying there as corpses. You know what you've got? You have got churches out there, so-called fundamentalist churches, that reject the Spirit of God. They've heard enough of the word where their bones clack together. They heard enough of the word to where the sinews came on, the skin came on. But don't give us any of that Spirit. Don't talk about the Holy Ghost. Don't talk about the wind. Oh, no, that's not for us today. Then they're going to lay there as corpses. And so you've got all of these fundamentalist churches full of corpses because they reject the wind of God. They reject the Spirit of God. It takes the moving of the Spirit, the flowing of the Holy Ghost, in order for the breath to come into them, and they rise up and they're alive again. Oh, hallelujah. That's what they need. See, churches today are basically dead. That's why they bring in the clowns. Literally. The entertainment. They got to have something going on. And so they bring in the clowns, the ventriloquists, the magicians, this and that, to draw a crowd. Some of them play bingo. Whatever it takes to get people in there. But they're dead. It's a boneyard. They may have heard just enough to where their bones clack together a little bit and there's a little flesh growing, but they reject the Spirit. And they need the wind to blow upon them and raise them up. There was one woman was saying, she was sitting in a church, actually she was listening to Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street, you know. He's kind of a Baptist sort of a guy. And she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she heard he was speaking. She wanted to hear him, so she went to this big church. It was happened to be a Methodist church, actually, where he was speaking. And so she was sitting there. He said something quite profound, and she said, "Praise the Lord!" And the place was just as dead as a doornail, you know. And everybody turned and looked at her like, "What in the world are you doing here?" So she sat there, and he was going on. He was speaking a little bit, and he said something from the Bible. And she said, "Hallelujah! Praise God!" Lifted her hands up, and well, then two ushers came, and they said, "You know, you really can't be doing this here because, you know, this is interrupting the service, and you can't be doing that." See, she said, "Well, I'm just praising the Lord," and he said, "Look, this is no place to praise the Lord." They told her. Huh? Methodist church here is no place to praise the Lord. And so the two ushers took her out through the side door, not too far from where Bob Harrington was speaking. And she turned and looked at Bob Harrington and she said, "You know, Balaam only had to contend with one donkey. I got two of them leading me out of here." Huh? This is no place to praise the Lord. Well, what is it then? See, she was in a boneyard. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. You know, she was in a boneyard there. No, it takes the breath of the Spirit to come in. And here we are reading in the Scripture about Shiloh, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Both the people of Israel, they gathered unto... Did he call his people together? They that sat in darkness saw great light. A remnant came together, did they not? And then the apostle Paul was called, and the door was open unto the Gentiles, and they came into the commonwealth of Israel, and God's people rose up as a great and a mighty and powerful preaching, Holy Ghost-filled army. But it takes the breath of life, the wind of God. I love that chorus. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. And it is. Glory to God. Now, in Psalm 2, following through on this thought, in Psalm 2, it says in verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Well, that's what we got in Washington right now. That's what we've got in our land. Heathen raging, people imagining vain things. You know, there's amazing things going on. They're trying to destroy our country on purpose. They're literally wrecking everything. And with this new health care proposal, if that goes through, you're going to have hyperinflation. The businesses are going to close down. And Ben Shalom Bernanke knows it. The head of the Federal Reserve System. That's right, his middle name is Shalom. But anyway, they never say that, they just say S. So you just put the S there. But anyway, it's all being done on purpose because they're trying to put together a one world economy. One new system, universal. The UN has called for it. All the different governing bodies. Now they're telling us the World Bank is going to be running out of money within 12 months. The World Bank. Everybody's broke, but somebody's got that money. Isn't that strange? Where'd it go? Somebody got it. Some of these people have got it, and they went running for the tall grass, didn't they? But all of this is being done by design. It's all being done on purpose. Because their objective is not only to control the wealth of the world, but to control the very souls of men and women, and to bring them into subjection. Now they come out with this thing, Applied Digital Solutions, Verichip, you know, where they got that little chip they can inject into you. Well, now they've got a new one. They've teamed together with a couple other companies, and they've got one that can detect viruses, including H1N1. And so if you go down and have them put that chip in, and it interfaces with the, communicates with your healthcare provider, your clinic, or whatever, wherever you go, doctor's office, that they can monitor this by computer. And so you could be at work or at home, and you get a phone call from your clinic, oh, we just detected a virus in you, and it tells which one it is. Now, how could they make a chip that can detect a virus by type and by name without creating the virus by type and by name first to program it into the chip? They got a whole list of viruses that they made, some they haven't used yet. They put it into the chip. They put the chip in you. Then they put the scatter the virus around at buffet lines and airports and people wherever people congregate together, shopping malls, whatever. And then the chip detects the virus. You go in and they treat you with their mercury-laced shots, thimerosal, and rancid proteins and all these wonderful things they put in that syringe and shoot that into your bloodstream to pollute the blood. Of course, the life of the body is the blood, and so they pollute your life. Right? And they got this whole battery of shots they like to give infants now, you know. 13 of them. Well, well, well. Oh, they love doing that. They stick them with needles because they're going to immunize them against everything. And now they said the rate for autism is no longer 1 in 160. It's now 1 in 100. One in every 100 children are autistic. Their brain is shot. We never had that before. It's all done by design. These are the destroyers of this world. The heathen are raging. I love it when God shows his hand. Sometimes he's doing these things. People don't know what to think of it. You know, you've got Russia pledging support for Iran. Iran is determined to wipe out the Israeli state. There's supposed to be a big war that's going to start in there pretty soon. Armageddon is around the corner. And over Moscow, this big, massive halo cloud appears, and it was dynamic. And I've seen a picture of it. The picture is authentic. It's been authenticated. And it's this, it looks like a big crown, perfectly round, hanging right over Moscow. They said it, light shining, shimmering through it. They said it looked like a portal of some kind, or doorway of light. Is God coming down and saying, hey, look out? Aren't there supposed to be signs in the sky? You know, before, once Hitler was getting wound up and started killing all these people and doing all of his nefarious activities, in New York City, one night, one dark night, as the war was beginning, and I don't know why people could forget such a thing, but there was a massive weeping and wailing in the skies over New York. Uncontrollable sobbing and weeping and crying and moaning. And it was heard in the skies everywhere over Manhattan. And they tried to find out what it was, and they never could find out what it was. Here was a great weeping going on. Was it once again Rachel weeping for her children? Was it once again the mourning of the loss of literally millions and millions and millions of people worldwide? Such was the disaster of World War II. World War II was planned and choreographed and put together at 58 East 68th Street in the Harold Pratt Building, not far from the East River in Manhattan. They designed the whole thing. The heathen were raging. I stood in front of that building several times, rebuking it. Got kicked out of it 3 times. Hey, you want to have an experience? Walk in the Harold Pratt Building sometime. The doors aren't locked. And watch how fast they'll give you the bum's rush out of there. Not even reporters are allowed in here, they said. This is private. They'll tell you it's not government. It's private. Well, you've got to be a Henry Kissinger to go in there. Or a Barack Obama. Or who's the guy at the Saddleback Church? Rick Warren. You've got to be a Rick Warren to go in there. He's been given the job by the CFR as overseer of Christianity in America. Hand-picked by the Illuminati. And how many people think, oh, he wrote those wonderful books, and oh, he's got this wonderful church, and he's full of the devil. Without question. But it's always been like that. The heathen are raging. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Psalm 2 verse 2 says, the kings of the earth set themselves. There's your conspiracy. And the rulers take counsel together. That's a conspiracy. Against the Lord and against His anointed. Who's the enemy? You and I. If you are walking with Jesus Christ, you are the enemy of this massive cabal of treason and conspiracy. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. When God begins to speak and judgment comes forth, this world is going to know it. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, for the heritage rather, or inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for a possession. The heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The Lord controls all things. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. What is happening here? We know that the Bible tells us the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Not a gathering to a geographical area, but unto Jesus Christ. So that everybody, no matter what their race is, when they come to Jesus Christ, they are the commonwealth of Israel. Praise the Lord. He calls them together, raises them up. This is what Jesus came to do. And to fill us with His Spirit. Now, to cement that fact, let's go over to John 5 for a minute. John chapter 5. Verse 24, John 5, 24. Do you feel this? I mean, we live in a world full of dry bones. And God looks at, again, what it's going to be, not just what it is. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it in my life. Once God gives you spiritual vision and you see things as they are, it's a constant shock. You know, just this last week, our president, Obama, well, he's not really mine, but speaking as a country, the one they call, quote-unquote, president, Barack Obama, had a meeting with the queers, all the leaders of the gay society. And he said to them, I am on your side. He said, I will stand with you. I will protect you. Well, if he's that good at protecting the queers, he should have been at Sodom. He would have fried with the rest of them. We live in a world where up is down and everything's inside out. Everything's backwards. People can't think anymore. I just love this company. I don't know the name of the company, but boy, if I could, I'd buy their clothing. There's a relatively small company. They market their clothes in France. And I got a picture of one of their shirts, and on all of their clothing, they put this label, and it tells how to launder the clothing. You know, don't use bleach and dry flat, and you know all this kind of stuff. These instructions, and then on the bottom, written in French, the English translation is: after you read the instructions how to wash it, it says, "We are sorry that our president is an idiot. We didn't vote for him." On every label of the shirts and all the clothing. We're sorry our president is an idiot. We didn't vote for him. That's their way of protesting, and they market these all over France. Find me a store where they sell those. I'm going to replace my wardrobe. Oh, boy. Anyway, in John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Verily, verily," you have two verilies here, "truly, truly," absolute statement of doctrine, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Is passed is the present perfect tense. Something happens. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming," watch this now, "and now is." Who was the one who was going to call the dry bones together? The Lord Jesus Christ. "When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now that's not talking about the general resurrection later on for Judgment Day, because that there's another verse deals with that if you go down further. In fact, when you go down, it says in verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation." Raised from the dead to go to hell. But here, backing up now, to verse 25, he's bringing it right up to the present. He says, "And this time now is." And folks, we're still in that time. We're the dead. Come on, and they're everywhere. "Shall hear the voice of the Son of God." Yes, we can try to speak to people. Yes, we can try to coax and convince people. But it takes the anointed word of God coming through your mouth to penetrate their hearts and stir them up. And I'm telling you that belligerent relative or friend or whoever, if you speak under the anointing, and don't be afraid to do it, the word of God to them, they can live. God will lead you to the ones that he will revive. "They that hear shall live." The dead shall hear. The dead shall hear? Oh, yes, they're running all over doing things, busy, full of activities, but they're dead. Spiritually, they're dry bones. That's how God, that's in the future, literally, they'll be that. God sees it. Now, if you back up a couple pages to the third chapter of John. Bible tells us here, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This is verse 1. "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." Isn't that interesting? Here you've got a member of the Sanhedrin court, a Pharisee, very powerful Jewish man, calling Jesus Rabbi. Which means master. Okay? "For no man can..." Notice what he's saying. We all know that you're from God. He admitted it. They all knew that. He wasn't talking about just himself. He says, we know. He was speaking on behalf of that entire assembly, that governing body of Israel. We know. But no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. We're talking about true new birth. Not the kind where people say, I raise my hand so I'm born again. Oh no. You obey the gospel, that's how you're born again. There's all kinds of ways to be born again as far as the world's concerned. Every master mason is born again. He's born again in the lodge. If you laid under that acacia tree and they resurrected you and pulled you up with that grip, right? And whispered into your ear, Mahabon. Which in Arabic means the master's carpet. Or in Hebrew means what this, the temple? What this, the temple? And you rise up and, oh, Jimmy Carter, remember Mr. Peanut? He never was a peanut farmer, you know. They just threw that at you. You remember, some of you are old enough to remember Jimmy Carter, huh? When he was running against Ford, they said, what do you want for president, peanut butter or jelly? But anyway, here was Mr. Peanut standing by his peanut farm out there in Georgia, like this poor boy, you know. Elect this poor boy, one of the people. That wasn't even his farm. That was a photo op. He was standing by somebody else's farm. They took the picture. When they wanted to elect him, week after week, Time magazine had his picture on the front cover, profile retouched to look just like John Kennedy. So people looked at him, they saw Kennedy, and they voted for him. Or is it Saint John Kennedy? No, it's amazing how the things that they will do. But anyway, here Jesus is presenting. By the way, Jimmy Carter, I started telling you about him. He said he was born again. Baptist Sunday school teacher, born again. He was born again in the lodge. 33rd degree Scottish Rite. Of course, you can be a master mason without being Scottish Rite. I'm just saying that I talk about Scottish Rite mason. When you hit third degree, you are a mason. That master mason, you are a mason. That's as far as you go. But then you can go into Scottish or York Rite and advance through that. That's another organization, but it's affiliated. Okay? So verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot, C-A-N-N-O-T, cannot see the kingdom of God. You ever talk to people about the gospel? Tell them, they say, I just can't see that. Can't see that. Of course they can't. Jesus said they won't see it. You've got to be born again. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's being facetious, of course, but he wants an explanation. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Isn't that awesome? Be born of, now, you know, I know that there's a lot of debate on that subject. That any devout Baptist will tell you that that water he's talking about is the amniotic fluid from the mother's womb, you know? Now, isn't that dumb? Would Jesus look at a man that's 50 years old and tell him he had to be born of his mother to be saved? The whole thing's ludicrous. No. The command to be baptized is very clear. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why? Because baptism entitles you to the promise of the Holy Ghost. And even if you haven't received it yet, you've received the promise when you were baptized, and God will make good on that promise in His good time. All right? Sometimes there's a little space between. Sometimes people receive the Holy Ghost first. But God always gets the job done. So the Word of God tells us, now notice what Jesus is saying here. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Look at verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. What happened with Ezekiel? God said, prophesy to the wind. And he couldn't tell. There is no anemometer or wind vane could have measured that wind. You couldn't tell which direction it was coming from. The wind from the north, south, east, west, everywhere. The wind bloweth where it listeth. This is the wind of God's Spirit that gives life to the dead. And thou hearest the sound thereof. There is a sound with this wind. There is a sound with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It's the same with everybody. It's identical for all. Don't come up short. Reach out for it all. Amen. These bones can live. This world is full of the unburied dead. And only the gospel call can bring them forth and give them life. Nothing else will work. You know, we're facing perilous times and we need the infilling of the Spirit of God. We're going to be turning to Acts chapter 2 for just a few minutes. As a final place in the scripture for this morning. And then we're going to have a song and baptisms. We're rejoicing in this. God is doing great things. But we are facing some amazing times. You know, I read an analysis recently of this healthcare plan. An attorney, in fact, the dean of a law school, who read the whole thing, over 1,000 pages. Boy, that takes some work, doesn't it? Over 1,000 pages. Of course, they're kicking it all over the place and talking about it back and forth. And there's certain members of the Senate who said in this committee, they said, let's take out that provision that guarantees free abortions for all. Well, the Democrats shot that down. No, we got to have abortions. We got to kill more babies. Got too many people. Got to make sure anybody is entitled to an abortion. So that's in there. And then, of course, for the small businesses that have even part-time employees, they have to buy the insurance for every employee and their family or go to jail. Now, how many small businesses out there can absorb that? Just us here at Last Trumpet, we have 7 employees plus myself. That would cost us $50,000 a year on the Obama plan. Now they said to Obama, are you willing, he was asked the question, are you willing to take your own insurance instead of the one you've got? In other words, all the senators, all the representatives, Obama, the cabinet members, all these federal people have a different insurance. See? And under the new plan, now they just recently passed a resolution saying they are exempt from the plan that they're forcing on everybody else. And then they formed a committee saying the committee will decide what treatment you get and what you don't get. Whether you live or whether you die. Whether you're recommended to death counseling, where you choose the type of death you want to die. This is all in there. You mean in America? This is happening here? Aren't you telling us about the Soviet Union? Red China? Well, Hillary Clinton, earlier this year, I believe it was in the spring, I wrote about it in the newsletter. After this law of eminent domain was expanded where they can take your property whenever they want to, for whatever reason, you used to have to go through a court proceeding, but they can seize your property. We are so indebted to Red China that she pledged your personal property, everything you own, your house, your land, everything you own, as collateral against the debt we owe to China. What a sweetheart, huh? No wonder at the end of September they could raise the red Chinese flag over Washington. No wonder they could light the Empire State Building in the colors of red and yellow. And of course, Laverne lives in Manhattan. She saw it. In honor of the revolution where Chairman Mao and his goons took over China and mass murdered millions of people. And we have to honor that. Why do they get all of these benefits? Why are we catering to them? Why do they have most favored trade status? Because they own so much of this country, and they are the largest holder of the treasury bills. You feel like you've been sold down the river? Oh, yes. It is absolutely amazing what has been happening, what people have allowed to happen. But so many people are walking around in a daze because they're dead. Dead bones. Meanwhile, these satanic people are going around putting together an Antichrist empire. And it's all been laid out. But I've got news for them. The Lord's going to interrupt their plans. I don't know exactly when, but He will. And even before He does, He is reviving His people. The wind is blowing. Praise the Lord! You know, people are saying, tis the season to be jolly here coming up. After we celebrate the devil, you know, with Halloween and go through all of that, and then we move on. We'll have Thanksgiving, which is nothing but a football game and a lot of beer. Then we'll move into December. Oh, tis the season to be jolly, and everybody's going to go out and spend money and buy all. Are they really? Let me tell you something real quickly here. There's three shoes involved in this situation. One has dropped, and that was the housing market and the banks, all this trouble, you know, with the banks. The next one is commercial property. You watch. Shopping malls, business places all begin to default. Banks lose even more money. Of course, the government's always there with a bailout, right? And the third one is credit card debt. that's already started. But when that shoe drops, these banks are going to be out all the credit card debt owed to them. People aren't going to have any money to pay their credit cards, and that's going to finish us off. You notice you don't get quite so many of those in the mail anymore, do you? Those offers for... And did you ever notice that during the day, you see, in Little Beaver Dam here, it almost looks like Madison Avenue. Cars back and forth and all over the place, everybody driving around. Why? They get their unemployment checks, they're not working, they got nothing to do, so they fill up their car with gas and drive around. They don't have a job to go to. They're out driving. That's why there's so many cars everywhere. I can hardly get on my street. Zip, 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 back and forth, and brain dead. And they're just, you know, it absolutely amazes me. But I'll tell you that right now, off the coast of Singapore, there's what is called the Ghost Fleet. Thousands of ships, so many freighters, more ships than there are in the entire U.S. and British Navy combined. Empty freighters sitting out there that usually had been moving goods back and forth, and they're sitting there. Thousands of them. They said at night it's very eerie looking. They're all lit up. They're all empty. No crew, no destination, no cargo. They're just sitting there in the ocean near Singapore. They call it the Ghost Fleet. And so they said the shelves will be a little more bare this year in the stores. You'll notice the stores still have inventory, but less of it. Smaller selection. And it's getting more and more so that way all the time. This nation is dying. This world is dying. The only life there is in Jesus Christ. And that will prove true at the end. In Acts 2, and I've only got a couple minutes, so I'm just going to read a few verses. Watch what happened on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. There's the wind of Ezekiel. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then it goes on to tell about all the people round about that were listening. And then came the preaching. And after the preaching came the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered that question in verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent! Dry bones? Can dry bones repent? Oh, yes. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What could be clearer than that? For the remission of sins, and ye shall, not might, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Dry bones, he said, hear the word of the Lord. And they did come together. The ones you've given up hope on, you need to go back and let God touch you and preach once again. Dry bones can live. It takes the touch of God. It takes a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. If God could take somebody like me, who was a mean, old, nasty occult astrologer, and turn me into a preacher of the gospel, and I don't think any of you were any too nice before the Lord got a hold of you either. Huh? Anybody want to take their past resume and try to present that at the pearly gates? No, we need to be washed in the blood of Jesus, cleansed by His power. And while everything is dying around us, we have light and life in Him. I'm going to ask our dear visitor here, Lori Salters, to come up and sing. She has a song. She sang it Friday night. It touched me greatly. I wanted to sing it for us now. As the Carsons get ready to be baptized, let's have Lori come up and sing this song, and I'll step aside. Amen. Oh yeah, this is on here. Well, let's see if we can get it over here. Is that about right? Okay. Praise the Lord.